No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Gary Granlin. Connor Orr is out on assignment.
I'm Mitch Goldich. Is that I've listened to enough of these podcasts? It's a different. We have a reunion show. It's different than how we used to do it.
You don't get to 60 minutes intro yourself, Mitch Goldich.
Man, all right. We have a third person here.
You have not. You have not earned the right.
I waited a beat.
And with that, let me welcome our guests.
Oh.
We have from the SI Media Podcast, Jimmy Traina. We have from Mitch Eats Food, Mitch Goldich himself. And guys, this is a gambling podcast reunion going on here.
Sure is. How did you guys do this season? That's all we need to know.
I didn't.
Can I tell you how? Here's how I did. So I live in a state that does not have mobile betting, although Massachusetts, we are getting it on, I think, March 1st. But last season, I was traveling right before the season started, and I had one of those like promotional deals, and they said, oh, make a bunch of bets, whatever. So I placed a bunch of bets, totally forgot about it. 3 weeks after the Super Bowl, I opened my account and realized that I had bet on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And so that was a nice surprise. And so I didn't bet as much this year as I'm sure I will next year, but everything I did was coming out of profit. So that was a nice little surprise last year in March to find that out.
Do you still have money in that account?
I do, yes.
Good. All right. Good.
All right, guys. This is the reunion show of the gambling podcast that was so successful that the sports books just asked us to not do it anymore.
What seasons did we do? We did 2019 and 20 and 21. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we came back like halfway through 2020, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so regular listeners on this feed should know who we are. We've done this before.
I get approached all the time by people asking what happened to the gambling podcast. My family, sometimes, once.
Sure.
Okay, so we did the show last year with Mitch. We're going to go through the prop bets. It's a little bit silly. You can take our advice if you want to go out and just, you know, cash in millions. But mostly we're just going to, I don't know, kind of mess around, talk about some of these prop bets. I think we're each going to do 4. And I will not assign first slot to one of you. So one of you can just raise your hands and start going.
Mitch, you go first.
All right. I'll go first. So, and we should say these are out of the Westgate props bet packet, which I have had some brand loyalty to this packet for many years at this point. It's actually funny. This used to be like my favorite thing of the whole year was looking at their packet and all the crazy things they have. And now so many people just do the parlays every single week. People on Twitter are posting their like 8-way parlays that it almost feels like it's lost a little luster because we see so many of these bets all the time, but I still love it. They do a good job, as do many other places. So first one, I was thinking about AJ Brown And, you know, this has been a story people have followed. He has 50 yards total in the first two games. And you remember that scene in the Giants game in the divisional round where the team was up big and he was still like unhappy on the sideline, like he wanted, you know, wanted the ball more. And then they sort of blew it off afterwards, said it wasn't a big deal. And he's like, you know, I always want the ball. So 2 weeks ago, I'm at the Eagles-Niners game, and it was the most predictable thing in the world. I said they are going to throw to A.J. Brown on the very first play of the game because they want to keep him happy, get him involved. First play from scrimmage, 6 yards to A.J. Brown. I think it was the second drive. Remember, they had that go ball from Jalen Hurts where he had him, but he missed him. Mm-hmm. But I think, once again, they're going to look to get A.J. Brown involved early in the game, keep him happy. So looking at all of the A.J. Brown bets, they've got like total receptions over 5.5. You know, I like that, but I don't think it's worth it for like minus 140. They've got, will he score a touchdown at all? Plus 140. First half touchdown, plus 300. But first touchdown, which I know is now like a popular thing people bet all the time. But first touchdown, he is 10-1. And I like that because, again, I think early in the game, they want him involved. They want him feeling good. They want him like into the game. You could do first Eagles touchdown at 5-1, which takes into account that it's like 50-50 who starts with the ball. And, you know, if the Chiefs get it first, they could go right down and score a touchdown themselves. But for the value, I also, you know, when we're talking prop bets, I don't like doing a lot of the bets where it's like yes or no, minus 110 on each side. Like, I think we're doing Super Bowl props. Like, let's go after big paydays, look for value. So A.J. Brown, 10-1. The players ahead of him, Kelsey, 7-1. Hurts is 7-1. Miles Sanders is 8-1. And then at 10-1, he's tied with Isaiah Pacheco. So I like it. A.J. Brown, 10-1 to score the first touchdown of the game.
All right.
Yeah, like you said, first touchdown has become so popular. I know so many people do it. I don't know. I just don't love that bet. And I sort of get caught up in like, because you could do first touchdown or any time touchdown. And then, of course, I feel like if I bet any time touchdown, then they score the first touchdown, then I think I'm an idiot and I hate myself. So I'm going to go with the first one I saw here that I liked is over 2.5 rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes' first rushing attempt. I think with 2 weeks off, the ankle's going to be a little better. Still don't expect him to be 100%, but obviously 2 weeks is a nice layoff to get the ankle a little bit better. If he's going to take off, if he's on a bum ankle and he's going to take off, you would imagine he's doing it when there's a lot of space in front of him. He's not going to take a chance to further injure his ankle to get a yard or two. And the fact that it's just 2.5 and, you know, he could move around a little bit. It's minus 110, but I think that's a, if he goes, I think he's going for more than 2.5 on that. Now it's the first rushing attempt, so you got to, you know, pay attention. But that's the one I like right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I don't know if they necessarily want to put him in position to do any QB sneaking or anything like that. So you're probably not going to have the cheap half-yard gain. I don't think they I think the Chiefs are going to do any of the butt-pushing fun that we
see
across the league.
I agree. And one thing that helps you here, the Eagles, obviously everyone knows about the Eagles' defensive line and the sacks. So if they're coming to get him and he's got to avoid his sack and take off, you hope he gets 3 yards and you're a winner.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing and also the QB sneaks. And I like your bet here, Jimmy, but I was also thinking about one of those plays where he's like scrambling and goes to the outside. And it's one where it's like almost a sack, but he gets back to the line of scrimmage and they give him like a 0 yard rush or a 1 yard rush. There are ways this could go south, but I like it. I think that's a good bet.
Thanks.
So I'm kind of obsessed with Boston Scott now, specifically after that touchdown run he had last week, because I love it for a number of reasons. The one he had against 49ers, if you watch the replay, no one realizes he has the ball until so late because he's so tiny. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, if he wears one of those hand warmers, can just carry Boston Scott in his pocket and then pop him out and give him the ball if he wants to. The other thing that kind of comes up to me here is the 49ers have just incredible linebackers. Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are great, but Greenlaw specifically, he's like a 6-foot linebacker. He's going to have some vision issues, and that's how Boston Scott ended up popping off that touchdown run last week. The Chiefs' top linebacker is Nick Bolton. He's another 6-foot linebacker. I think it's going to be something of a Boston Scott day. I don't think he's going to carry 25 times, but I think they're going to find some spots for him because I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Chiefs linebackers to locate him when they do that, you know, misdirection stuff in the backfield. So I kind of wanted to do touchdown, but he scored so many touchdowns. I think he scored in like three games in a row now or something. It's up to plus 500. That's just not really going to do it. But I will go with Boston Scott over 14.5 rushing yards. That's a straight minus 110 right there. And yeah, I think he ends up getting like, you know, 7 or 8 carries in this game and ends up going for like 40 yards.
You didn't want to take a flyer on the touchdown with those odds?
I didn't. I think plus 500 is still too long. He's still the third running back on that team, so I don't want to go nuts. And he's not really a goal line back either. They're obviously, if they get down to the 1 yard line, it's the butt pushing with Jalen Hurts. But yeah, as a small man myself, I'm getting increasingly obsessed with the inability of players to find vision across the field sometimes. And I think it's just kind of funny when you watch Boston Scott and like everyone's helmet is looking the other way, and all of a sudden he pops out of the backfield and he's already turned the corner by the time everyone realizes he had the ball. It's like it's kind of like if you play Turkey Bowl with your son or daughter, your niece and nephews, and you do the one play at some point where like you tuck the ball in under your shirt and no one realizes you have it. And then you can, I mean, you just taunt and berate the children as you run for a touchdown. I think we've all been there. And yeah, that's what Boston Scott is now in the NFL.
Gary, did you see that Connor actually picked Boston Scott as his MVP in the MMQB's official Super Bowl predictions? Not like as a prop bet, like good value. Yeah. He just said, like, here is, and it was funny because he actually, so a peek behind the curtain as I edited and produced that story and had everyone send their stuff into me, Connor forgot to pick an MVP. And so I texted him and said, hey, you know, you forgot an MVP. Do you want Jalen Hurts or do you have someone else? And he goes, no, Boston Scott. And so then he and I had a whole conversation about it. So you two, obviously, you spend too much time talking to him, arguably, but you're on the Boston Scott train together.
I do want to point out, Connor's working like 22-hour days, so if you ask him for anything right now, you're just going to get some sort of angry protest of an answer.
And yet, he gave me like 7 minutes of Boston Scott material.
Mitch, you go again.
All right, I am going to be boring again here. I promise I will get more adventurous with some fun stuff at the end of the show. But after doing this crazy idea of first touchdown, I'm going to do this unbelievable bet on, you know, they name an MVP of the game. And last year, first off, now, you know what? I wasn't going to bring this up. Now I'm going to bring this up. Last year, I bet on Aaron Donald to be MVP of the game. Last year, you mentioned I came on with you and Connor. He should have been MVP and he would have been, except that they voted before he made the game deciding play. And then they gave it to Cooper Kupp instead. And then that would have taken my bets from unprofitable to profitable. But anyway, I am going back to the well with my MVP, and I'm not even doing it because I have a strong take about who the MVP of the game is going to be. I just think there is unbelievable value here. Did you know that Jerick McKinnon is 200-1 on MVP of the game? I don't think he's going to be. If you play this game 200 times, I believe Jerick McKinnon is MVP at least 1.5 of those times. I think there's an edge here. Looking at the numbers, so Mahomes is obviously the favorite for the Chiefs to win and also just overall, plus 115. And then Travis Kelce's 18-1. And then there's a huge gap up to Isaiah Pacheco 60-1. And then McKinnon and Juju at 200-1. Whereas on the Eagles side, you've got Jalen Hurts as the favorite 5-4. And then you've got many more guys in this in-between level where it's AJ Brown 20-1, Miles Sanders 21, Hassan Reddick 20-1, Devontae Smith 40-1. So I just think it's really good value. You don't have to put a full unit, put half a unit, you know, half as much as you're putting on the other bets here. But I just love the payoff, 200-1. I mean, this game could go a million different ways. We don't know how healthy Patrick Mahomes is. Maybe they're going to try to neutralize the Eagles pass rush by throwing screen passes to McKinnon. And we've seen him score a ton of touchdowns this year. You know, Patrick Mahomes might get hurt. I don't want to put that out into the universe, but like we've seen him injured or hobbled and stay out there, but they just hand off. You know, one thing I was thinking about is the voters don't really like watch the game on TV. So if we have another great McKinnon bodyguard game where he's winning the game with his blitz pickups, you know, I don't know that the voters, that's a little harder. Maybe people would see that in real time, but I just think it's good odds. And then while we're there, by the way, Pacheco's 60-1 for like the same reasons. I like kind of just putting a little bit on both of those. And just if it's a weird game, if the Chiefs passing attack you know, has a tough day and they just run the ball. If Mahomes, you know, does his normal Mahomes things, but his stats are a little bit ugly, I mean, everyone's going to want to give it to Mahomes. And we haven't seen a running back win MVP since Terrell Davis in one of the two Broncos wins in the 90s. We've seen a few wide receivers since then. But yeah, I just think there's good value here where it's like so much is tied up. And by the way, I'm picking the Eagles to win the game, but so I'm taking an MVP on the other side. Yeah. But I just love the value here on both of these guys.
You made me nervous because I have a Jerick McKinnon prop bet as one of my four. Thank God that wasn't it. I'm going to save that one for later because, like you, okay, I think you got to mix in some good long shot odds with the minus 110. So I gave you minus 110 with Mahomes. I'm going to give you something a little value here, and then we'll go to McKinnon after. I'm going to go plus 230, successful two-point conversion. These coaches like two-point conversions. They're both weird. They're both offensive gurus, offensive geniuses, and they both have all these weird plays in their playbook. Maybe we'll get a little ring around the rosy from the Chiefs. A Philly special. So will there be a two-point conversion attempt was minus 110. I'd much rather go for the successful attempt for plus 230 there and get some value out of it. You know, these are two very, very, very good offensive teams, obviously. So if they're going for two, I love my odds of getting it successfully. Plus 230, I think there's excellent value there. So that's my second prop.
I love it. You're speaking my language with the two-point conversions. We should say the Westgate packet does not offer the octopus, but it is all over the internet in other places. And now I get tagged in all the tweets. People bet the octopus and screenshot me on it. And I'll just say both Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes had octopi this season. So, Jimmy, I hope your bet cashes, and I hope it's an octopus because that would be very good for me if that happens. Yeah.
What are the octopus odds this year?
I've seen it a bunch of places at plus 1400, which I think is about normal. I am on it at that number. And then someone tweeted at me that they saw it at plus 2100 somewhere, which is much better. I forget the name of the place, but it's in a lot of places and it's now grown enough that people write articles about it. And most of them mention me and some of them don't. And it's nice to be mentioned, but it's also nice that this thing has grown well beyond my control.
It's just nice to be nominated.
Yes.
So with my second one here, I'm actually, and by the way, I really want to, I'm going to build up the septipus. I want to see Harrison Butker score a touchdown and then kick the PAT and go that way. But
can you elaborate on how that would happen exactly?
Mitch, who was it? The Dolphins
Jason Sanders.
Sanders did it. He scored on a fake and then and then kicked the extra point. Happened a handful of times.
Yeah, but, you go with that.
I'll stay in kicker territory here. I'm taking Jake Elliott under 1.5 field goals. That's even money at Westgate right now. Look, those of us who had Jake Elliott in fantasy football this year know he actually didn't score a whole lot of points. He was injured for a little bit, but also they're so good in the red zone because of, again, the butt pushing. And this is also a team that's I think this is going to be a game where it's going to take maybe a drive or two for the offenses to feel out what the defenses are throwing at them, because I do think the defense is going to throw out some early wrinkles. But once the offenses get settled, I think you're just going to see sustained drive after sustained drive. And I think the Eagles are going to feel they don't want to settle for field goals, which they usually don't anyway. If you go through Jake Elliott's season, he kicked in 15 games. In 8 of those games, he only had one field goal attempt. He could get something at the end of the first half or at the end of the game, and that would sort of skew things. But mostly, I just think this is a lot of four-down territory for the Eagles. So I will go under the 1.5 field goals for Jake Elliott.
I get nervous with that one just because, you know, they can maybe get a cheapie at the end of the half. And,
yep.
Well, you know, but,
you know. Good weather conditions, too. They might kick in a spot where you might not. No, I'm serious.
What were the odds on that? What were the odds on that again?
That is even money for under 1.5.
Got it.
All right. Back to me.
Yep. That is.
Let's have a little fun. So I never pick a quote-unquote traditional score. It's just no fun to predict. Like, I think this team's going to win 24-21 or something. So some years I get a little crazier than others, but this year I have Eagles 30, Chiefs 26. It just looked good to me as a final score. Some interesting, Jimmy, we can get your 2-point conversion, you know, or a safety, just a lot of different ways. So then one thing that I love about this packet is every year you can bet on the exact score for either team and get some good odds. And this is a sucker's bet, and I'll probably lose this every year for the rest of my life. But one of these years I'm going to hit it, and it's going to be a good story. So I did not look up either team's histories with these exact scores before I made the pick. But then preparing for this podcast, I was like, oh, let me just check. So the Eagles at exactly 30 points pays 25-1. Again, I think there are lots of ways to get to 30. A few field goals, a missed extra point. They had 31 against the Niners. So if they'd missed an extra point, you know, there you are. So then I looked up how many times they've scored exactly 30 and didn't realize they did it against Kansas City last year in a game they lost 42-30. And you don't have to win the game. You don't have to predict who wins to hit exact score. So Eagles, exactly 30, 25-1. And then the Chiefs, exactly 26, pays out 30-1. This one I'm also confident in. Did you know the Chiefs scored exactly 26 points in week 12 when they beat the Rams? They did it twice in 2020, twice in 2019. I don't know how they keep doing it, but it's very doable. And so maybe I just like that absorbed into my subconscious when I was preparing my picks and sent them in. So yeah, I'm on both of these. I'm going to count it as one prop. Eagles 30 points, 25-1. Chiefs 26 points, 30-1. I think it's like a fun way to watch the game. If you have the exact, it's like, okay, we got to get to 26. Like, would they kick a field goal in this drive? Would they go for two in this situation? Are we going to get an intentional safety in the last minute of the game? So put me on these. I think this is a fun one.
I can never bet. Like, I have a hard enough time trying to pick the game. So like picking an exact score is way over my head. I'm going to go, I'll give you my McKinnon one now. It's a minus 110. His total receiving yards is 20.5. I love the over. I have, don't ask me why or how this happened, but for some reason, I maybe 5-6 weeks into the season, I started betting Jerick McKinnon over receiving yards every week. And he was like getting in the 50s a lot of weeks, 40s, 50s. And then his total got higher and higher. The last couple of games for the Chiefs, he's got, okay, I think he had a 17, and then one game he didn't have a catch at all. So now there's been like a little market correction, and it's down to 20.5. I love that over because he just needs two, maybe three catches to hit that over. You know, he gets them in chunks. He's fast. He's probably gone over 20.5 in most of his games. I should have looked it up, but there was a time that he was getting in the 40s, 50s, 60s. The last few weeks, like last few Chiefs games, not there, but I think he gets it. It's so low at 20.5, minus 110, over 20.5 receiving yards for McKinnon.
Yeah, part of it, part of a market correction might be that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back, but I am with you. I don't think, and a little insight from Super Bowl media night, I can tell you they had McKinnon and Pacheco at podiums, and they did not have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at a podium. He's still going to be their third on the depth chart, and I think that's over. I think they've had a lot of success with him, and you know, I already sung his praises for MVP at 200-1, so I'm with you on the receiving yards.
First of all, Jimmy, nobody does research before they start this podcast. It's a tradition for me and Connor at this point. But also, your McKinnon bet plays just a little bit into my next prop bet here. Okay. And that is, look, in the lead up to the game here, I think everyone's talking about one player, and that is TJ Edwards on the Eagles side, the linebacker there. And that is an inside joke for Mitch, who will not laugh at it. Just the quick backstory is, you know, we put together at SI the commemorative issue.
Oh, you're going to sell me out team. Like this. Oh, I can't believe this is happening.
It's happening. Oh, our conversations are not private. I usually record them and use them as a segment on this show. But yeah, so we have to prepare them for both teams because the issue closes on the Monday after the game. You can't be like, oh, all right, well, let's start closing an 80-page issue on, you know, 10 o'clock on Monday morning or whatever. So we look for old stories you've done on guys that are kind of good. Alex Pruitt, our wonderful writer, had done a piece on TJ Edwards and his connection with the Watt brothers. He works out with TJ Watt. They're both named TJ. I mean, my goodness, everything just aligned there. And the amount of pushback for putting TJ Edwards in the commemorative issue was mind-boggling. And Mitch wanted no part. As an Eagles fan, Mitch spoke up and said no to TJ Edwards.
Doesn't sound very professional.
Once again, no. The national media is taking my words out of context. This is overblown. This is not how it went. I will say, if you are an Eagles fan and you are buying a commemorative issue about your team winning the Super Bowl, and there are profiles of three players in it, you would be surprised if TJ Edwards was one of those three players. That is all I will say.
Surprised. That is actually approximately what Mitch said. But anyways, I'm zeroing in on TJ Edwards right here, who is close to my heart for a number of reasons. But big year for him. He went from a guy who was first and second down only to a three down player this year. He played 94% of the Eagles' defensive snaps. He was seventh in the league in tackles this season. I am taking the over on 8.5 tackles, and part of it is because of that that statistical performance during the year, but also it's because, along with him playing better this year, he is, and this gets to what Jamie was saying about Jerry McKinnon, he's a guy who the Chiefs are going to target in this game. I mean, they are going to try and get him singled up on McKinnon and Pacheco out in the flat and go at him that way and make him try to make tackles in space, and I think he delivers enough of them. I think you do get, I don't want to overstate it, but something of a healthy dose of Isaiah Pacheco in this game. Lord knows they talk him up during every production meeting with the broadcast teams every week, and they have wanted Pacheco to be kind of their closer, their late season violent runner against worn down defense and stuff like that. So I think you get a lot of Pacheco running into TJ Edwards' arms when he doesn't run into the back of his blockers, and you get a lot of Jerick McKinnon out in space. Good. Against CJ Edwards. And I Beautiful. Think he piles up double-digit tackles here.
Love it. I'm all Gary's, for that.
Gary, your hate for Pacheco every week is just unbelievable. You've been doing this all season.
No. It's not hate. It's just been ridiculous. The whole, like, every broadcast team comes on, they're like, Pacheco's such a violent run. And yeah, he's a good player. And he's going to be in the league. I think he'll get to a second contract. I think he'll be a nice fantasy pick for those of you who do that kind of thing. But the way they talk about him, it's like Marshawn Lynch is coming off, prime Marshawn Lynch is coming off the bench for the Chiefs at this point. It's like, no, he's a guy. He's a young runner. He runs into the backs of his blockers a lot. He gets out on the perimeter, and as soon as Ian Eagle starts calling out such a violent runner, he gets depleted by a 180-pound cornerback, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. He is going to get better, but he's okay right now.
His over-under rushing yards in the AFC title game was 48.5, and he didn't come close to it. Yes, man. I had it.
Oh, that's right. He had a couple, like, long check-down runs.
And he had a lot of one-yard runs.
Yeah. I should say long check-down catch-in runs. Those don't count as rushing yards.
Yeah.
All right. Last one for me. I'm going to do a cross-sport prop. I feel like I have to do one of these every year. This is really what it's all about. This is part of why I love the Westgate. They do all these crazy things where it's like this basketball player's assists numbers compared to this random stat in a football game, and they do it with all of them. I looked into the golf ones because, it's big out here. The Waste Management Open is a huge tournament, and it's here, and I'm going to the tournament on Saturday, and so I thought it would be fun if I had a bet. They've got the winning score of the tournament minus 27.5 against Jalen Hurts passing yards, and I was like, oh, well, this is fun because I can go. I can, like, watch. It's two different sporting events, and I can watch both of them live. And, if I took Hurts in this, I could just root against every single golfer that I see on Sunday, on Saturday. Maybe that would be didn't seem like a really fun way to spend the day. So I'm going to turn my attention to basketball here and give me this Joel Embiid prop. This is my first homer pick of the day. Gary outed me as an Eagles fan after I bet on two Chiefs to win MVP. But it's Embiid points Saturday against the Nets. Has to cover Eagles rushing attempts minus 1.5. So if Embiid scores 33 points, which is his season average, I would win that bet if the Eagles ran it 34 times or fewer. So the important context here, I'm not just picking Embiid for the sake of it, but they're playing the Nets. I don't know if everyone watched it, but the first game when Embiid played against Ben Simmons was very intense. It was in Philly, and the fans were acting like it was an Eagles playoff game. he came out a little too overhyped and he only scored 26 points. But I think he is going to have learned his lesson from that game. The Nets just traded KD, so I think they're a mess. I think he is going to come out sort of that perfect combination of like amped up but a little more in control, looking to send a message. I think there's a higher ceiling for him here than Eagles rushing attempts. We saw him score 47 against Jokic. I think this is a statement game. He is never going to take it lightly in a game against Ben Simmons. So I think you look for Embiid to post a big number on Saturday. And then the Eagles, you know, that many rushing attempts, that is dependent on game script. You know, they might decide that they've got a better chance attacking the Chiefs' corners and throwing the ball. They might fall behind early and have to throw the ball a lot. So I think there are a couple different ways to win this. And so, yeah, it is, I'll say it is the second night of a back-to-back for Embiid, which is a little alarming, but they're playing the Knicks and the Nets, so it's not like they're getting on a plane and traveling a lot. So, yeah, give me Embiid, I guess, plus 1.5 Jalen Hurts rushing attempts.
Are you afraid at all, though, that if it's a blowout, he doesn't play a lot in the fourth quarter?
Yes, that's a concern. I mean, he might not play at all, which I believe would void the bet. There's always risk, but I think there's upside. I mean, if he scores 40 points, you're feeling good. And he's been scoring. I think he's still leading the league in scoring, either him or Luka. They've been back and forth a bit. But, you know, looking at all – and also it's just fun to, like, have a rooting interest in that. Like, some of the cross-sport ones are very random, even for me. So I like the tie-in betting on, you know, the two Philly teams. But yeah, you know, Jimmy, I'm worried about everything. I'm always worried. But this one is a minus 110. So it's a little throwaway. It's a fun way to have action on two games.
That's the life of a bettor.
There you go.
My last one, you know, Mitch said it earlier. You want to have some sort of long shot odds in there. Try to maybe get lucky, make some big money on the long shot. I'm going to go, will there be overtime? Yes, plus 900. We have not had an overtime game in the postseason. Everyone's expecting a close game. The line's 1.5. Just seems like if you want a flyer for some value at plus 900, I think we'd all be surprised if the game was a blowout. Mitch said 30-26. Maybe we can get 26-26, go to overtime, 29-26. You win half your bet. I love plus 900 here. And it feels like we're set up for an overtime game, which we haven't had in the postseason, that gets screwed up by the refs. That would be the way to end the season, I think. So
yeah, it was so
for little
dramatic.
Value.
The new overtime rules, there was so much attention on them, and we haven't seen them yet this season.
We have not seen them yet. So that would be my last one for you there, overtime plus 900, just as a value play.
And by the way, part of the reason I like the offenses, just putting together a lot of sustained drives. And I do like the over, even though sustained drives tend to be bad for the over. But I think the NFL put Carl Cheffers on this game to maybe kind of diffuse the, you know, we talk about it all the time. You get to the postseason. These are when the casual fans kind of tune in and you don't want a penalty-filled slog. I think they're putting Cheffers on this game because his crew threw the most flags this year. And Cheffers is also a good
And last year, 2 years in a row.
Yeah. So, but I think it's staying in their pocket. I think this is going to be a very flag-free game. And then on top of that, they can say, like, well, all you people complaining about the fact that the Chiefs hold on in every single offensive snap, we put Cheffers on the game. No flags.
And I think he's also called, because I wrote a column about this last week. He's also called, I think, the most or the second most PIs of any ref this year. And you have here offenses that like to throw the ball, so that could come into play.
All right. But I also went to the cross sports thing, and I tried to pick out the stupidest one. not stupid, just absurd. But I'm going Travis Kelce -5.5.
Can I digress and just focus?
Yeah.
Not stupid, just absurd.
Yes.
Can I get a breakdown of the difference?
Stupid is like this is a terrible idea that should never have seen the light of day. Absurd is more, okay, this is ridiculous that this is available, but why not tune into Niagara Iona, Matt Ack basketball? and gotcha. And see how it goes. So I'm going Travis Kelce -5.5 against Iona, total points up in Niagara in this matchup here. The Gaels shooting 25.4% from three over their seven true road games this season. Quinn Slezinski still out. Out for the season now. You probably know him better as the Muskrat, as he's known around New Rochelle. I think we all know why. And I know some of you are looking at KenPom and you're saying, but Iona's a top 100 adjusted tempo team. Lots of possessions in this game. But Niagara, bottom 10 in the country as far as pace. One of the slowest paced teams in the nation. I think Niagara controls the tempo. Rick Pitino's guys shoot poorly. I don't think Iona breaks 60 in this game. So this line is kind of stunning to me here. Easy one for Travis Kelce.
This is perfect. And I just, Shelby, you have to clip that. And if Gary wins the bet, we just need to send that out all over social. That's a perfect. I love the amount of research you did for that one, Gary. Thank you.
Did I spend 80% of my time researching the show on the Iona Gaels?
We now know the reason this taping like was pushed back from noon to 12:30.
Before we go, everyone, I guess just kind of, I'll start because it's my idea. Just fire off your scores and your MVP picks here. And we'll say you can do an MVP pick. Like, I'm going to pick Mahomes for MVP, but no one's betting Mahomes for MVP. That's no fun. So I'll give you sort of the bet that I would make for MVP. I am picking Chiefs 34, Eagles 31. I like Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo with the extra week to prepare. I don't necessarily think the Eagles staff can't match that, but we just haven't seen it at this point. So I think it would be a coin flip game if we were in October, but I think I'll give an ever so slight edge to Kansas City right here. Like I said, Mahomes is my pick for MVP. If I was going elsewhere, I'd take Chris Jones. I think at 80-1, he is the one guy that if a non-quarterback is going to take over this game, I think it would be him. But yeah, that's where I am here.
Do you want us to give a score?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Jimmy, okay. I assume we were going in the same order.
No, I didn't know if that's what we were doing. Okay, good.
Yes, so I already told mine. I know I talked about the Chiefs long shot MVP guys, but I am on record already. Eagles 30, Chiefs 26. And I did go with the conventional Jalen Hurts MVP. I think a lot of people will argue. This is what I wrote in my thing. You can check out all of our staff predictions if you want to know who Albert and Connor and Greg and everyone else picked in the game. I wrote that I think everyone's going to be like, oh, they should have given it to AJ Brown, but they'll just vote for Jalen Hurts anyway, because it usually feels better to vote for a quarterback. So since I already had revealed my score earlier in the show, I will just say briefly before we get out of here that I am already on the Jaguars to win next year's Super Bowl. I took a quick peek. DraftKings had odds for next season and they were 35-1. And I loved it relative to some of the other teams. So I'm already looking ahead to next year and I've already got Jags 35-1, but I know this is a Super Bowl props bet. So I'll rein in my analysis, but that's everything I've got.
I'm going Chiefs 33, Eagles 28. I'm just, you know, Mahomes. It's that simple, Mahomes. It's very even. I think it's going to come down to the wire. And Chiefs maybe pull away late. I think maybe Hurts. You know, I have concerns about these quarterbacks playing in a Super Bowl for the first time. I'm not saying Hurts can't handle the pressure in the spotlight. And even Sirianni, I mean, you have a rookie coach here. And the experience of Reed and Mahomes compared to the experience of Sirianni and Hurts, I think ends up being the difference here. I think, you know, next year would be a year. Mitch said Jaguars. I think we're going to see Eagles-Bengals next year. I think the Bengals will finally get back there. And then, you know, you have the Eagles should be here for a while with Hurts and Sirianni. But I think for the first time, I expect the experience maybe to be a little bit of a factor here. So I'm going to go Chiefs 33-28. I just want to say one thing quickly. The one bad thing about sports betting becoming legalized is all of these sites now, whatever you use, DraftKings, Caesars, Westgate, FanDuel, you know, they've got to now tighten it up a little bit. They can't get crazy with the props. You've got to go to the offshores for the crazy props, like, you know, with, you know, what's going to be Rihanna's first song and all that stuff. And I got to say, I miss the crazy props. I feel like I haven't seen as much of it. I saw something last night in doing a little research. But like what I see is like articles about crazy props, but not where you can bet the crazy prop. I don't even know if it's offered. But I saw some last night that were so ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if you want me to take a minute here to go through some of the crazy ones that you can't bet legally, but I'll tell you, there's some funny ones out there. I mean, one of them that I saw that I think is a lock is will a clip or picture of Andy Reid competing in the punt pass kick contest be shown? You know that's going to be shown. Oh, now, yes is minus 150. So, you know, you got to lay 150, but that is a good one. And the other one I saw that cracked me up, this will be the last one. There's a prop bet out there. Which word will Travis Kelce say first post game on the field? Ass, damn, plus 105, hell plus 450, shit plus 900, and fuck plus 1800. That is an outstanding prop bet.
That is.
That's good. No outstanding. Jabroni, though. Jabroni, you got to pick the field.
Right. Well, there's, yeah, they should have Jabroni. I guess they're just going with, like, you know, the George Carlin seven dirty words here. So. And there's also one here. Well, Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen mention odds. There's a 0% chance they will make. Roger Goodell would have them fired on the spot, so... It's another good one, but you can't bet these anywhere, unfortunately. But yeah. I'd have fun with those.
Yeah, you need Al Michaels if you're gonna bet that odds.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, the only thing you can hope for with Burkhart is maybe an over under reference with the line at 1.5. He's not going to mention the odds because it's, you know, basically a pick'em at this point.
Well, it was good to get together with you guys again. I missed you badly, but not enough to interact with either of you privately. So with that, I guess we'll talk in a year.
Gary, you've already told everyone how much we talk about TJ Edwards. So
that's it.
Yeah, let's do this a year from now. Eagles and Bengals.
The MMQB NFL podcast is Connor Orr, usually, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royson. Mark Bravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB. Super Bowl champion Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts. And once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.